Stern has got jobs. What for us, Stern? What have you got for us?
We're going to start, Keith, with Esquire's Coffee, 11 Air Square, are seeking two experienced full-time barista, waitress or waiters with 1 year relevant experience, 5 day week and 8 hour shifts. Please apply in person to Carol or Colm at Esquire's Coffee Counter, 11 Air Square, or email your CV to colmmcd@icloud.com. Aviva Ballybrit Galway have a number of positions available and are seeking qualified general insurance claims advisors for motor damage and injury claims, customer service and sales advisors, full and part-time positions available, a team leader, grade C for their direct Galway call centre in Ballybrit, and also claims advisors to join their claims customer experience team. To apply, go to aviva.ie/Galway-jobs or email direct at aviva.com. Early years practitioner required for creche in Galway City. Minimum level 5 childcare qualification. Please email CV to galwaycreche@hotmail.com. Tom Doyle Motors, main open dealer, Opel dealer, Loughrea, is currently looking for a qualified technician and a first, second or third year apprentice. Training in electrical components, diagnostic equipment and electric and hybrid vehicles will be provided. Send your application to workshop@tomdoylemotors.com or post to Tom Doyle Motors, Galway Road, Loughrea. And finally, Stella Marie Nursing Home, Cummerchum, are recruiting healthcare assistants. They are also hiring a registered nurse, director of nursing, assistant director of nursing and cleaning and laundry staff. Full and part-time positions available. Please email your CV to stellamarienursinghome@gmail.com. And if you need any phone numbers or email addresses, please call our reception on 091-77-0077. Search hashtag Galway Jobs on social media or go to goabfm.ie/jobspot.
Thanks indeed, Darren, and for that. If you want to get further details, go to our website and get further details from there.
Gardening advice with MacD's, Loughrea and at Galway Irish Crystal. Shop online and have your veg, seed and seed potatoes, garden tools and hoses, garden furniture and barbecues delivered direct to your door. MacD's.ie.
Anne McKeown joins me on the line today. Anne, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us today on online. Speaking of MacD's, by the way, I just got a lovely photograph. They put up the Christmas lights in Loughrea last night and they look absolutely stunning, I have to say. So well done.
Very nice.
They really look absolutely stunning. So well done to all involved in that. Sean and all the team out there. Looks splendid, I have to say. Listen to me, gardening-wise, I don't know, Anne, whether this is for you or not, but I have to give it to you because I don't know what to do with it. I'm persecuted with a lot of cats. What is the best thing to do to get rid of them without killing them?
So, okay, what you could
you
try...
You can't kill them first off, that's the first thing. So
oh no, absolutely not, absolutely not. But what you could do, there's one or two things you can do. You could try a scent off pellet, which is a pellet you buy in the garden centre, and it has it gives out an odour and the cats don't like it and it'll deter them. So if you sprinkle them around the roof, or maybe if you have a galvanised rooftop on a shed or anything like that, or around the shrub beds or wherever the cats may be congregating, if you could break the cycle by spreading these pellets, the scent of them would deter them. The other thing you could try is orange peels, fresh orange peels. When you squeeze your juice in the morning, if you use the peel left around the garden, again on the rooftops or on the edge of the beds or wherever that the cats congregate, it may help deter them. You know, it's worth a try anyway.
All right, but you can't put out anything that'll poison them, so that's
absolutely not.
That's
no
illegal,
way. No
so
way.
Just don't do it. Just when they said, what is the best thing to do to get rid of them without killing them? Don't do it, for God's sake. That's why I didn't know what to do with it.
That's not even a runner.
No, it's not. Keith, can you ask Anne, the flowers and plants that have flowered, what should I do with them? Thank you.
Okay, well, if it's the summer bedding plants that have completed flowering, you can take them out of the pots now and clean up your pots and get them ready for the winter planting. You could take about an inch and a half of the compost off the top, a little bit more if you want, and put a bit of fresh compost and plant your winter plants, like your cyclamen and your winter heathers and your polyanthus and your winter pansies, and possibly some spring flowering bulbs like daffodils, dwarf daffodils possibly, and crocuses and snowdrops and so on, into your pots. So really what you're doing is you're cleaning out the old plants and you're keeping the pots fresh for the new plants. Now, If there are plants like geraniums, busy lizzies, fuchsias in your pots that you had for the summer, you could tidy them up, give them a little bit of a haircut, tidy them up and bring them into the shed, into a frost-free environment, and keep them there over the winter time, and they'll last until next year and you'll be able to put those out. That goes with fuchsias, geraniums, busy lizzies, and the other thing is begonias. You can also lift your begonias and clean the soil off the corm, off the bulb as such, and wrap them in a bit of newspaper and keep them in the shed in a frost-free environment over the winter time. And you can plant them out next year and you'll have new begonias.
Good stuff. And I mean, in relation to that, somebody's just back on it here to say, do you have to keep them in the soil, the fuchsias, or what's the best way of doing so?
What I would do is, the fuchsias and the geraniums, yes, I would keep them in the soil. There is an argument to say that you can take them out of the soil and shake them off it and leave them dry out over the winter time. The problem is they could get too dry and the roots could get frosted. So if you could keep them in the compost, just lift the pot and all in, or lift them into fresh pots, or take them out and plant them together, close together in a fish box or something like that, with a bit of soil around the base of them, and just keep them moist, not wet, absolutely not wet, over the winter time. Okay. And that'll do the trick. But okay, with the begonias, you do take the soil off them and you can wrap them in newspaper or even a bit of straw and put them in a cardboard box and keep them out of the frost.
Hi Keith, can you ask Anne, can I grow cuttings from shrubs now this month? Thanks.
You can. The cuttings you grow at this time of year are what they call hardwood cuttings. They're not the soft growth at the top of the plant, they're the slightly woodier part. Now they should be about pencil thick. Now, not so thick that you're sticking a big branch down into the ground. You don't want to do that. That's a little bit like sticking a feather in the ground and thinking you're going to grow a hen. It doesn't quite work like that. So what you do is you take your cutting 10 or 12 inches long, pencil thick, no thicker, pencil thick, slanted cut under a bud, and scrape the bottom of the bark, just a little sliver off the skin, not deep paring, just a sliver off the bottom of the cutting, and put it into rooting powder if you want, and into compost and a bit of sand outdoors. So your cutting at this time of year is 10 or 12 inches long, it's pencil thick, so that means it's slightly woody. You put it outdoors in pots, containers, fish boxes, are in the open soil, and you can take your cuttings that way. Okay. And then you would take your softer cuttings in May, June time. So okay, you have two shots at this.
And what's the best time to move shrubs? All approximately 3 to 4 years. I planted them too close to other shrubs and I want to move them.
Okay, that's fine. You can move them any time from November to March. Just let the growth die down. The growth is dying down on them now, but a little bit more. Let it go back a little bit more. They're still quite mild at the moment, so there is still a bit of growth out there. So what you'll do is leave them until maybe mid-November, and any time from November, mid-November, right through until March, you can lift them and move them, keeping as much soil around them as you possibly can, and give them a light trim before you move them to take the pressure from the root system, because no matter how careful you are, when you put the spade down into the ground to lift the plant out, you will break a root. So you have less roots feeding what would be an abundance of branches. So what you want to do is reduce the weight of the branches a little bit, so that there's less work for the root to do, and the plant will transplant no problem. If they're only 3 years old, you'll have no problem at all. It's a mistake people make all the time. Plants are so small when you buy them. You think they'll never grow. You put them in really close. They look fabulous when they're done. 2, 3, 4 years down the line, it's a jungle. Make sure you space them at their ultimate spacings when you're doing it from day one. Even if you're looking at a lot of soil in between them, they will grow, and then you won't be moving them and have all this extra work.
Finally, Anne, I sowed a small amount of carrots and parsnips, about enough to do me until January. How best to store them, please?
The best way to store them is to lift them out of the ground and store them in a bucket or a trough or container. I keep saying fish boxes because they're so handy. Any kind of box.
Is that the white ones? The kind of the styrofoam?
Yeah, the white ones are the wine-coloured ones. You know, you see them around the place. what you or any kind of a box or a container or even a pit of some description, but of sand, you're putting them into dry sand and you're storing them in dry sand, and then you just pull them out of the sand as you require them for your stew or your soup or whatever, and they'll preserve no problem in the dry sand over the winter months.
Good stuff. And thanks for joining us today.
No problem at all.
Have a good and a safe week, and the weather that's coming down.
I was
saying earlier on, did you see that shower that came down yesterday about 3 o'clock? It was just...
It was just...
Shows us that climate change is having an effect even on us here.
And it's that time of year. We can expect a lot of bad weather between now and next March, I'm presuming. But anyway, we'll just go with it.
Anne McKeown, as always, thank you for joining us. You can write to Anne McKeown, Galway BFM, Sandy Road in Galway.
Gardening advice with MacD's Garden Centre in Galway, Irish Crystal. With everything from plants, shrubs, pots, garden furniture and much, much more. If you love gardening, you'll love MacD's. It's just fan-dabby-dozy.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Tesco Knocknacara is now open.
Now, a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. I want to go to my next guest, William Henry. Willie Henry joins me in studio. He has two events now. He's as bad as the president at this stage, so he's Michael D. Higgins. He has so much on. But the Athenry Historical Society are hosting a talk called Gather Round and I Tell Ye by William Henry, based on the book Away with the Fairies. Now, this is all happening on Friday night at 8 o'clock, and the venue happens to be the Athenry Community Hall in Clark Street in Athenry. The talk is dedicated to the memory of Professor Etienne Rain. God, but when you say the memory of Professor Etienne Rain, you just bring back such wonderful, wonderful memories, I have to say. Willie has been away with the fairies no more than myself for a long time. Willie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
I kind of find it difficult, you know, when you say the memory of Professor Rain.
Professor Rain, like it's he was quite a character himself, like,
and very
colourful, you know. And, you know, what I always remember about Etienne, no matter what was going on in Galway, he was on top of it, you know. He was one of these people. And he was a great man for organising, to be honest, you know. He was like, you know, when he was president of the society, like, we did island trips, you know, all the islands off the west coast. He had always had something new to contribute to the society at all levels, you know.
Very intelligent.
Absolutely.
Just like yourself now, except you've got away with the fairies on me altogether, so you have.
Sometimes I wonder, Keith, did I get that from him as well?
Gather Round and I Tell Ye by William Henry is based on his book Away with the Fairies.
The talk, Keith, really is, it's like, you know, you couldn't have planned it. The book came out on the 28th of March 2020, Away with the Fairies, just when the lockdown hit, you know, for the COVID. And, you know, a lot of people said that I was away with the fairies at the time. But it was an absolute, there's 50 stories in it, Keith, you know. And it's the Pooka, the Coasty Bower, the Banshee, the fairies, you know, the leprechauns, and all the different other wonderful Irish, wonderful folklore characters that we have in Ireland. And, you know, it's since that book came out, Keith, believe it or not, there's another 40 stories have come into me. And I'm sure after Friday night's event, there'll be a lot more down in Athenry with all the...
But, you know, and we can be flippant about being away with the fairies and that, but I remember the stories of the Banshee. I remember the story of the Fairy Fort. I remember all those stories.
Yes.
As a child growing up, and I had a wonderful grandaunt who told us stories at night time. Like, she could regale, and she was old at the time, God bless her, but she could regale stories just like that.
But the storytellers, Keith, without those storytellers, realistically, we wouldn't have the wonderful, you know, the rich folklore that we have today. And in fairness, those storytellers and that folklore protected all of these sites. You know, when you think about it, we would have lost an awful lot more ring forts and fairy trees and all of these sites dotted around the country, unless, without these Shanachies, you know, let's be honest about it, motorways have been moved to, you know, to accommodate fairy forts and fairy trees and that, you know. So, and it's a hugely important part of our culture. And I think, you know, we have Hollywood, we have all of the Lord of the Rings, and they're wonderful, and, you know, Harry Potter and all, but we have just such rich folklore here that was passed down to the Shanachies. And not just the, you know, we talk about the Banshee and the wonderful stories, and sometimes it's supposed to be frightening, but we also have the legends of the Celts. So we have a huge repertoire of stories here in Ireland. you know.
Absolutely. So
and the more I tap into it, Keith, the more that comes out, you know.
Yeah. So you're 40 more, so it's still going to be a second version of Away
with the help of God, Keith. Bless the mother, as my mother would say. You know, it looks very much like that, Keith, you know.
Absolutely. So that, now let me, because we have two events on, it's like Michael Deesa, you're the president this week. So this event is on Friday night. It's on at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. And there's a bit of finger food in Park, the New Park Hotel afterwards.
So it's, again, the community hall, Clark Street, so it is. And again, if they want to go along from there, they can do so. And then you have your own book launch, so you have, which is taking place on Sunday. And I went through it last evening, and it's a beautiful production, so it is, of River Corrib Guide. It's a stunning production. Again, anything you do flipping well.
Thanks very much, Keith. I think the photographs came out extraordinary, but there was great help with the photographs, like my own son David wrote in and enhanced them. Pardon the pun, Keith.
You're not just away with the fairies, but you got up the river as well, let me say, yeah.
But Mick Duffy did a lot of the aerial photography, and then Patrick McPhilbin from Review, just up the street from where you were born yourself, Keith. Patrick did a lot of the enhancing and a lot of the colorization of photographs. Because we wanted to, like, it's aimed at tourists as well as local people. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to bring to life some of the older photographs. Now, I know some people mightn't agree with colorizing great old photographs, but at the same time, I think
why
it worked.
Not?
You know, I think it's fantastic.
Why not? You have a lovely one there, the Thatcher. I've got to bring back such lovely memories to me as well. The Thatcher was a vital person to have in the village, and there's a family outside. Now, you definitely need to colorise that, so you did.
Yeah, that one.
And you have the ponies there. You have the Martin Estate and Tea House. And again, that's now on the grounds of NUIG. University of Galway.
University of Galway. Keith, that's what happened to me as well. They decided to change the name of the university when I had the book written. So, you know, I had to go back and do all that. But it also broke new ground for me, Keith, because the flora and fauna, I always cover archaeology, history and folklore. Yeah. But I wanted to cover the flora and fauna as well, because that's a huge, important part of the River Corrib. Mm-hmm. And of course, of the Great Lakes, as we'd call them, the Loch Corrib, and of course the angling and that. So that all had to be covered. And then what actually surfaced, Keith, my friend said to me, you know, why don't you throw in some of the ghost stories you had to tell me? So, you know, the ghost stories about the Claddagh Bridge and the Glumuk rising from the waters down there, and the White Lady at the Spanish Arch waiting for her lover to return for 500 years. His ship never made it back to port, and she's still supposed to be seen there by the old people who would tell us all these stories. So I included a lot of those, you know. So, any, you know, stories that I heard when I was about 15 or 16, actually, Keith, that I just jotted them down.
That's only 5 years ago. I was looking at a lovely one there. It reminded me of somewhere in America, to be quite honest, and you've colourised it as well. But it's the Commercial Boat Club.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What a beautiful
It's a beautiful photograph in itself, you know.
And
Patrick made a great job with colorizing it.
Is it attached or is it? No, it's not. It's a slate roof on it. And then you have the Commercial Boat Club now as it is.
Yes.
In its glorious color. I mean, you've put a huge amount of work into it. You've put in Galway Courthouse there as well.
Yes.
And taken us through that. The construction took place in 1812.
Yes.
And opened in 1816.
Yes.
I was going through it.
And the illustrations there, Keith, show like that the people wonder about the Salmon Weir Bridge today. Like, well, the bridge was actually built to connect the old jail with the courthouse.
That's right.
That's why it's in the middle. You know, people say, why didn't they do it straight? But they have it in the middle. But what was interesting was the bridge, another reason for the bridge being built was this little illustration in there by Eamon O'Regan that shows what was happening was when they were bringing the prisoners across in boats, you know, after being sentenced, the boys, you know, if they were good swimmers, they jumped out of the boat and they were away in a heck. So,
I'm looking at that. I'm looking at Menlo Castle there. I'm looking at Terry Lane Castle as well there. I mean, you've put so much into it. The University of Galway, I must send it to you. I got a lovely photograph. I mentioned it to Kieran Hogarth there recently from the University of Galway. An invitation came out from the university a few weeks ago, and all that was in at the top of the was a photograph, and all that was there was the quad and that building. There was no Newcastle, there was no Rahun, there was nothing. There was no Quincentennial Bridge, nothing. That's all that was there. There was no hospital. I must get you a copy of it.
Please, Keith. And another important site there, as all that development has gone on, Keith, is the actual ring fort, the Dangan ring fort.
Yeah.
Secure place, you know.
It's amazing. So let me go through this then. So we've gone through the fairies, now we're on to the Corrib, and your son that rode in, God bless him.
And, well, a number of others as well, Keith, you know, Patrick McPhilbin and Mick Duffy and these, they all helped with the photography, you know.
Good stuff. But you're launching this, so the venue is going to be the Galway Rowing Club in Mulcahy, and that's taking place on Sunday at 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock, Sunday.
On Sunday. Will you be signing copies?
Hopefully.
What are they selling at?
€20, Keith.
Very good value for €20. But there's so much information in it.
Yeah,
I took it home last night and I went through it. It's just so much information. It's just lovely. So it is from there. And you've an image there of the hanging in Galway Jail.
The hanging in Galway Jail. It's a young man. It's that young man that illustrated for me. And I was in Canada, you know. So
is he?
He did it when he was in college, you know, David O'Brien.
Yeah, he was in with you, I think, once.
Pardon?
I think David was in with you once at one stage.
He was.
They're the sad times indeed. That's when you see what our people came from.
Yeah.
That's the sad times, and the gallows was there from there. And I see you have the county club in there. You've got the Wolfstone Bridge. There's something for everyone, so there is in it. Mm. And again, if you want to get copies of it, and they can't, where could they buy them as of now?
They'll be in all the good bookshops, as Tom Kinney would say. There'll be Charlie Burns, Bill Book and Candle, Dubray's, and Tom Kinney and Kinney's themselves, you know, okay. And a number of other shops.
All right, listen, thanks for joining us again. It's called River Corrib Guide. Couldn't be any easier. It's a lovely photograph of the Corrib Princess, and then this one lone fisherman coming down in his boat just ahead of it as well.
And he's been identified since Keith's book came out. Yes.
Who is he?
He was one of the McCarthys from Woodkey, referred from St. Bridget's Place, Lower.
Good on him.
Yeah, so.
Good on him.
It was amazing when the photograph came out, somebody identified it immediately. They knew the boat, you know.
Do you know what I was going to, look what I was going to do, you know, I'm so used to focusing in, I thought it was, I was looking at it on a tablet or something. I tried to focus in to see could I recognise him, and I can't.
It was actually Hugh Graham in the Atlantic Print who printed the book, and fantastic job. But Hugh actually recognised him because Hugh was a great riverman himself, and of course Ernie Deasy was great as well. Keith, you know, Ernie was
Ernie, the Duracell bunny that he is, that keeps going. A bit like yourself. Listen, Willie, thanks for popping into us. So again,
thanks an awful lot, Keith, for allowing me the space, and for Galway Bay FM for allowing me the space. Thank you very much.
The River Corrib Guide will be launched by Councillor Frank Fahey, indeed, at 4 o'clock this coming Sunday, the 30th of October, in the Galway Rowing Club, and all are welcome.
Could I just say, Owen Divin will be saying a few words as well, and no one knows the river, and Gary Craven will be doing MC, so, you know.
Are your mates tonight? I'll see you on Tuesday.
Gary loved great characters.
There's no going home on the Sunday for you, I'm afraid. You'll be getting a Chinese about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Tesco in Drevaughan is now open.
Now, very good morning to you. Welcome on into today's programme. We're going to give you a chance to win in association with the team in Dubarry today. Quite simply, they're having a Dubarry Factory Shop bank holiday sale this weekend. Further details can be had by just popping into them this weekend. They're open every day except Sunday, by the way. They're open Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30. Saturday, 11 to 5. Sunday, they're closed, but on bank holiday Monday, they are open as well. They're located on the Old Athlone Road from Ballinasloe. You can take exit 14 off the M6 motorway. And we've got a €100 voucher for you to spend on the day in question. And quite simply, I'm going to read out some jackets here. And I want you to pick out which is the wrong one or the odd one out. Is that okay? So gilet, parka, quilted, waxed, cravat and poncho. One of those is not a jacket. Text us straight away, please, to 0870-958-968. So again, the jacket theme is gilet, parka, quilted, waxed, cravat, poncho. Which one of those is not a jacket? You could be in with a chance to win. And courtesy of the team in Dubarry, you could have that €100 voucher to spend as well. Now, let me go to Galway native Eddie Mullarkey, who joins me. He's in part of the Galway Comedy Festival. And Eddie, good morning to you. How are you? Thanks indeed for joining us today. How long are you in the comedy circuit?
Hi, Keith. Lovely to meet you.
You too.
I'm in the comedy circuit since late 2017, so about 4 and a bit years.
We always a funny fella.
Well, you'd have to ask my mates about that, you know. I'd never testify to it myself, but
yeah. But you enjoy it.
I do, I love it,
Yeah.
I was doing acting before I did stand-up.
Really?
And then did one gig, and that was it. My mind was made up. I stopped the acting fairly promptly and just transferred completely to stand-up, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are you making money? Not during COVID.
I wasn't during COVID, no, but I tell you, you know, you take the pup when it's out there. But I was making odd bits.
I like it. Okay, well, we're getting on well, we're sucking well, so we're here. Yeah. Yeah.
About half the country can relate to that, I say. Yeah. No, I am. I'm making a bit of money now. I'm getting by, gigging around. Did the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for the month of August. Brought a show over for that. So I do a bunch of festivals here and there.
And how did the Fringe Festival go for you? I mean, it's a very special place, isn't it, Edinburgh?
Oh, it's a magic place, yeah. And when the Fringe Festival, it's the biggest arts festival in the whole world. So yeah. 4,000 shows on.
Wow.
So it was massive. And wow. I had a great festival run of it, yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
and you made a good name for yourself, and you're still continuing to build on that name. Then
building. It's a slow grind, you know yourself. The scene has changed since the big TV days. It's all online. You're always doing bits here and there, and you're just, it's a slow build. But yeah, it's going well.
But your listen, slow was good, to be honest, because at least you appreciate, you know, where you're coming from and the slow build that's in it.
Especially when you can see it growing as well. When you see yourself getting better and you see yourself, you know, getting more of a base and more audience coming to the shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Then it's very encouraging, all right.
And I know that you've a lot on. So you're going to be in the Tyberg tonight, say, at 8 o'clock. And then you're heading off, so you're... Again, have you a double gig then as well today?
I've three gigs today.
Sweet God.
I know, well, I'll go. So I'm doing the bus tour, comedy bus tour with Lally. And we'll do two comedians on that, Breda Lark and Ian Coppinger. Great lineup. Actually sold out for today, but we're on again tomorrow.
And Paul Marsh is on that as well.
Paul Marsh will be in tomorrow as well,
So he's in tomorrow because he was on with us yesterday. So Breda Larkin and Eddie Malarkey and Paul Marsh tomorrow.
Yeah.
There might be some tickets left for that. You're sold out today, yeah?
We're sold out for that today, and there's still some tickets for tomorrow. There's still some tickets again for the Roisin Dubh gig I'm doing tonight. And there's a great lineup with that. John Colleary. Do you remember him?
He was
one of the creators of The Savage Eye, that brilliant TV show.
He's talented guy.
Oh, fantastic. One of my favourite in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's on.
And what time is the Roisin Dubh? Because I have so much writing in front of me here now.
8:30.
8:30 is the Roisin Dubh. And what time are you going to be in?
The Tyveark, the Irish language one, is 8 p.m.
8 p.m.
Yeah.
So do you shoot from one to the other then?
I'll be doing the set in Irish and then be running straight over to the Roisin Dubh sweating, and I can do it in English, which I'll be honest, I'm slightly more comfortable in, so I'm less worried about. I was thinking today, right, doing this Irish language, and I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great crack, and I've done some Irish language performance theatre before, but I'm doing comedy now. Translating my own stuff into Irish is a different game. I was thinking it's almost like doing an oral exam, but in front of 150 people at once. But it's a great lineup.
It is, but it must be great for you. I mean, having grown up. So you're from Annadown, or are you from Knocknacarra? Are you from Annadown now, living in Knocknacarra?
Grew up in Annadown, and then we moved to Knocknacarra when I was about 12 or something. And my parents are still there in Knocknacarra now.
Good on them.
So, yeah.
Good on them. Big move now from Annadown to Knocknacarra.
Big move. I say 12, good age to move to Knocknacarra, good age to move to town. So yeah. The absolute brilliant childhood in the countryside.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you want to be doing stuff in a band, doing stuff wherever the town is.
Yeah. You're just justifying that move in, so you are, because you obviously broke their heart outside there and they're having to bring you in now to town all the time. They had to move in.
And five kids in the family as well, so
they had to move in. And again, just, I mean, it must be great to have it in Galway, because, like, it is the Galway Comedy Festival, but it must be great just to have it in your own hometown when you see the way Edinburgh works so well.
Yeah.
And then to have this in Galway City where you grew up.
Oh, I love coming back for this festival. I think it's so much crack in Galway and so lovely that I say all the comedians, we do it for free anyway. The festival is just so much fun. The vibe in the city is so good.
Yeah.
I love coming back for it.
And what else would you recommend in the festival, Eddie, at this stage?
I'd recommend all of my shows. I've got a few others. I think I'm on tomorrow night as well. There's a comedy pub crawl. So the audience hop from one pub to another, and there's a great lineup on in each one. So I'm on at the Cellar. And then on Sunday, I'm on in the Lofternoon Delight, which is in the loft in Bar 7 upstairs. Yeah. They've got afternoon shows, great lineup with that. Danny O'Brien and a few others. And I mean, they've got all the great Irish comedians on at the festival, Tommy Tiernan and Dylan Moran. So the lineups are brilliant.
And will you get to watch much yourself?
I'll try and get to see some of the old Irish greats. Absolutely, yeah.
So if you've got one of these flash badges then that allows you to give you a VIP.
I think I don't even need the badge. I think I'll just get a nod and walk in anywhere in town. I know I'll get a lanyard VIP, I hope. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to negotiate with Kevin Healy on that.
I will.
So you have to reduce your fees for next year, you see.
Yeah.
he'll be the poor dog train also, even on this one.
Yeah.
Listen, well done to you. Thanks for popping into us today. Continued success. Where are you based now?
I'm in Dublin. Yeah, living up in Dublin now for about 7 years. I went up. I was back and forth doing jobs in Galway and stuff. And then once stand-up started, I moved permanently up to Dublin. And I'm running a club up there now called the Crack Den.
Yeah.
CRAIC for anyone who's slightly confused on that.
Yeah. The Americans, I love that now.
The Americans, it's very funny. We get Americans into the club a lot, you know, and they still, I have to explain it to them as they're leaving. They still just think it's, you know, it's the wholesome type of crack we're talking about. and that's going great up there, yeah. So,
listen. Well done to you. Further details can be had from the Galway Comedy Festival. Regards to the folks in Knocknacara, and I'm sure they're delighted you're in Dublin, but that they can pop up and visit you and see the club and have the crack and all.
Oh, they're delighted I'm down in Galway now. I bet they are too. They're coming to the show tonight now.
Are they? Good.
Yeah, they're
good.
In for a rude awakening.
Good on them. Brace yourselves, please, folks. Brace yourselves. Eddie, thanks indeed for popping into us today. And well done to you. Thanks indeed. And keep in contact. And
absolutely.
Come in and we'll do a podcast with you someday and you can throw your jokes in and then we can keep it clean so we can. Listen, thanks for popping into us. Eddie Mullarkey there in the Galway Comedy Festival, from Galway indeed, doing the open bus tour tomorrow. If you want to get further details, just go to the Galway Comedy Festival website and get details. Eddie, thanks for popping into us. I want to go to Valerie Cox, who's brought a lovely, lovely book our way again. It's called When I Was Your Age, Ireland's Grandparents Share Memories and Wisdom. And Valerie joins me on line one, I think it is today. Valerie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you? It's lovely to be talking to you again.
Listen, you're one better than the other. It's a lovely, lovely memoir, so it is, of something. It's a brilliant idea. Who came up with the idea?
Well, I'd often thought about it because I had an idyllic childhood myself and a great relationship with my grandparents. And I always had the idea, you know, and then my own grandchildren were born. I have four of them now. And I just thought, my God, this miraculous little human being, this is the continuation of my tribe. You can link it into, you know, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and life goes on. And I was just fascinated by the whole idea of this new link in my life. So I began thinking about grandparents and then talking to them, and this book is the culmination of that.
It's a lovely idea. The image on the front of it really captures the whole content on the inside.
It does, doesn't it?
It does.
It's lovely. I mean, the bond between grandparents and grandchildren is absolutely amazing. I mean, grandparents are non-judgmental. They listen to their grandchildren. They give them support. They're always there for them. And, you know, that bond is never broken, even when the grandchildren are much, much older. And talking to a lot of my older grandparents, you know, I got that. Their grandchildren are now their friends. They can go out for meals together. But they're always there supporting and, you know, looking after them. And, I had quite a few Galway grandparents in the book. I don't know if you've seen Breed Martin's chapter. She was a school principal, actually, in Galway. But she grew up in Rossaville in Connemara. And honest to God, Keith, you can nearly smell the seaweed off the pages. Yeah. I mean, they had this most wonderful life. It was a musical life. There were 12 of them. And they had parties and hoolies all the time. And she talks about school in Rossaville, where Breed remembers a marvellous teacher, Tadhg O'Shea. He was a bit of a genius, she said. He had translated all the Christmas carols from France and Holland and Spain, and he put them into a booklet, and they'd be singing them out to their heart's content in the school. I mean, lovely, lovely memories, you know?
It is, but I mean, I read through Mary Coughlin, because Mary would be a lifelong family friend of ours as well, and her parents were of my parents as well, and I was looking at Bertie Ahern, and do you know what? I kind of mean this with the height of respect, because I had a great childhood as well, but I think grandparents are nearly better grandparents than they were parents, because there was so much going on in their lives.
You know what, Keith? I think you're absolutely right. I mean, for most grandparents, it's a second chance, but you don't have the awful stuff. You're not waking up at night and you can fill the kids full of fizzy drinks and sugar and send them home again as well.
So, now we have the secret. Now we have the secret, Ms. Cox. Now we have the secret. Listen,
you're getting the best of the grandchildren, really, you know.
It's a lovely...
I mean, I love that idea.
It's a lovely read, though, because you can leave it on the table behind you, beside your other. What was the one I read last evening? I thought it was just lovely. Oh, yeah, Ruth Buchanan. Because I would have grown up with Ruth being on the telly and on the radio as well. But it's a lovely, her story, the rector's daughter, it's a lovely story, so it is.
It is a lovely story. And, you know, I think people were so relaxed when we chatted because, you know, that's what I always did as a journalist, travelling around the country, being nosy, chatting to people. And sometimes I'd almost forget I was writing a book because we just got into it so much. We were, you know, swapping pictures on the phone of our grandchildren and so on. And they told me lots of lovely things. You mentioned Mary Coughlin there. And one of the stories I love about Mary is when her first grandchild was born, she was determined to get in and see this child. And, you know, maternity hospitals are not that welcoming to grandparents, really. So what did she do? She went down to Holles Street with a plastic bag and she brought a slippers and dressing gown, and when she got to the door where everybody was having a smoke, she put them on and walked in like she was a patient and went to see her grandchild for the first time.
I'll have that for her hairdresser mode if you're listening to us. Valerie, it's a lovely book. I have to leave it, unfortunately, and I'd love to come back to it. It would make a lovely series of podcasts, by the way, so it would. The content of it.
Never thought just of that. It would actually.
Would make a lovely, lovely series of podcasts because you can tell the story. But it humanizes some of the grandparents that we know as household names as well. Listen, thanks so much for joining us today. When I was your age, Ireland's grandparents share memories and wisdom by the talented Valerie Cox, including entries of Mary Kennedy, Seanan O'Rourke, Mary Coughlin, Bertie Ahern, and many, many, many others. And well done. It's just a cracking idea. And she has done it. And it's now gone into the history books as well. So well done to Valerie on that. If you want a good read, forget Christmas. If you just want to have it beside you, it's one of those books that when you're between the phone, the iPad, the computer, the television, the bed and the pillow, you can read it. Congratulations to our winners today, by the way. Dubarry Factory Shop is going to Mary Mahon in Killeen and Gort. And the rest of the people that are getting their tickets are Phyllis Rabbit from Athenry, William Feeney, Mike Cullen, Martin McNally in Ballinasloe, Marie Broderick in Loughrea, Wendy Meany in Roscahel, Kathleen Costello in Castlegar, and Tom Whelan in Ross on Glass. That is it for today. Darren produced. Siobhan took your comments. Until tomorrow morning, just after the 9 o'clock news, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We look forward to talking to you then. The programme is podcasted each hour. Most of them are up there. The 11 o'clock will be up by about 10 past 12. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, just after 9 o'clock.